We read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So far the word. Please be seated as we sing three more verses of our hymn. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text for this morning's devotion is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the eighth verse. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So far the word. This holiday season is such a wonderful time of little traditions and celebrations. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things is when you get that holiday tree set up and just looks so wonderful, brings the whole living room together. Putting up those holiday ornaments are also a fun little thing for the children to do. Maybe when you are back home over the break, maybe you're looking forward to seeing how your holiday tree is as well. You know, the campus is all lit up nicely with holiday lights, and I even see from some of the residence halls, you know, holiday lights and just the holiday cheer there as well. And of course, what would this time of year be without all the holiday shopping? And, you know, of course, it's fun when they play holiday music along with that, right? Really makes this such a joyous holiday season. I don't know if you've noticed, I don't know if it bugs you at all, to switch the word holiday with Christmas. Is that one word really make a big difference? And holiday is kind of a Christian word too, right? We talk about the commandment, keep the day of rest holy. Does it make a big difference, that switch between holiday and Christmas? Can one word, can Christmas make that big of a difference? Well, I'm not as concerned. You know, we tend to think about that switch happening with retailers and stores. I'm not so worried about them switching holiday for Christmas. I'm more concerned about us. They're going to use whatever term they want to use, and as long as I get a discounted 55-inch 4K TV, you know, am I right? I don't really care what they call it. But for us, how do we treat Christmas? Is it truly Christmas for us? Can that one word make a difference? Well, we find how that one word of Christmas really makes a huge difference in our text for today. It talks about here the angel announces the birth of Jesus and says, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You know, the word Christ is one of those words we use a lot. We have it in church, we have it in the Bible, we have it everywhere that we maybe don't think or process. What do we mean with the word Christ? It's not just like Jesus' last name or something like that. It's talking about his work, his office. And it's so when the angel is saying that this baby born is Christ, the angel is saying this is the one promised from long ago, even back to Adam and Eve, to be born, to be Savior and the Lord himself. This is the one you've been waiting for. Christ means anointed one, and in Old Testament times they anointed people like prophets and kings and priests, which meant pouring oil on, but you inaugurated them into an office. So we see Christ, we should think not just Jesus, but Jesus and all the work he was promised to do. This is the one who's truly Savior and Lord. And that's how it gets difficult with that word Christmas. Sometimes we do kind of take that Christ out of Christmas, not to use too many cliches like that, but, you know, it's not something that's just old commercialization is ruining Christmas. We ourselves take Christ out of Christmas sometimes. And we do that, we don't think that we need this amazing Savior. When we think, oh, my sins aren't a big deal, or God's going to be fine with it, or, you know, I'm not worried about it. I don't really have a whole lot I need to work on with sin. Or we can think, well, you know, everyone's a massive sinner, so it's not a big deal if I have some sins along with it too. And so there are a variety of ways in downplaying our sin and its seriousness and not caring and not working on it. We've eliminated the problem, and then we've kind of eliminated the solution of Christ. We've downplayed sin, and then, oh yeah, it's cute, baby Jesus in the manger and all our manger scenes. But do we take to heart, I desperately need this Christ, this one who's done the work necessary to take away sins and conquer death and open the gates of heaven and things like that. Sometimes, we not only take the Christ out of Christmas, but so to speak, we can take the Mass out of Christmas too. Mass was a word that was used to describe the divine service, a church service. The term was used a long time ago. Lutherans, we don't use it so much anymore, but the word came from toward the ending of the service. It would basically, in Latin, say, go, you're dismissed. So the word mass comes from the word dismiss, and you can kind of hear that. Mass, dismiss, you get the picture. But the idea is that's the church service. And so at any rate, sometimes we can take the mass out of Christmas too. When the worship, when the church service, when the means of grace are not held up as this is Christmas right here. And it's great to have some of those other things on the side, like the presents and the family time and all those fun things too. But properly speaking, those things are not Christmas. And even we Christians can make this mistake all the time too, and make the church service more like an interruption to Christmas rather than Christmas itself. And treat it like an interruption. Really, Christmas is God's presence with us in the means of grace and his church service. So yes, the word Christmas makes all the difference for us. Again, the angel says, there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the promised one, the anointed one, the Savior and the Lord, all wrapped up into that concept of Christ. And having realized our sins, we take joy in what he's truly done for us. He has snowed down perfection and righteousness on us. By ourselves, we're like the dirty fall ground, all dirty, and the grass doesn't look good, and the leaves don't look good either. And the snow comes, and it covers it all up, and makes it look nice and winter wonderland-like. Well, that is what Christ does for us. We are dirty and sinful. He snows down his perfection and righteousness and covers all that over. He does that with his perfect life, his sinlessness that now covers over the dirtiness of our sins. And even though we love Christmas for cute baby Jesus in the manger, remember that Jesus came to die as well. And that is a huge part of Christmas, that he's not just born, but this begins his work of eventually dying and suffering for us, so that by his suffering, our sins would truly be on him and be forgiven and gone. By his death, we would see our own justification, that we are right with God through him. And with his resurrection, the big issues that he came to fix, not just give us vague Christmas cheer and warm fuzzy feelings, but that he came to conquer death itself and conquer hell and take that on himself so that we could have heaven itself. And he draws us to himself by coming to us in the word and sacrament and working faith 100% through his work, Holy Spirit. And so that is what makes Christmas happen for us. It's not. It's about how he has given us substantial and eternal blessings. And that really helps give us a truly joyful Christmas. You know, sad to say that for many, Christmas is a sad time of the year. We might as well be real about it. For many, Christmas is kind of depressing, and there are many things and drama and difficulties and family issues and things that can especially come to the forefront all the more at Christmas. So those things sometimes go wrong. We have plenty of challenges, but that does not ruin Christmas when Christmas is the peace and comfort we have in Christ our Savior, when Christmas is the church service, God coming to us in the Word. Then even if the weather keeps you from doing something you want to do, even if there's difficulties with family or friends or sorrow over something going wrong, Christmas still happens. The true substantial joy still happens because we have Christ and we have the Mass or church service where that comfort is proclaimed to us. So today we've covered a variety of Christmas cliches. We've put the Christ back in Christmas. We've put the Mass back in Christmas. Yes, all those things around Christmas are good too, like the presents and the fun and the family and all that, but they're just not Christmas itself. Christmas itself is Christ the Lord, our Savior. And what a joy he's come to us to give us substantial blessings, things that are eternal and lasting, even if they're bumps in the way on our earthly life and challenges. Those blessings are being brought to you and me in his word and sacrament. And so with that, may your Christmas truly be like the angel speaks of, good tidings of great joy. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for making Christmas happen, that first Christmas in Bethlehem. Make Christmas happen in our hearts as well, through faith, by the coming of your Holy Spirit in word and sacrament. Assure us of Christ's work for us as Savior and Lord. Give us peace now and eternally through him. Amen. Please rise as we continue with our final hymn, hymn 125, the first two verses.